So Millie, how are y'all? I'm praying for y'all every day. I just know our hearts are with y'all. Everybody, I want you to seek out Millie and the children and encourage them, pray for them, ask them how they're doing. Don't walk by them because you're uncomfortable with the situation. Walk toward them because you're uncomfortable with the situation. We are not going to ignore this. We're going to move toward it. And I encourage each of you to do the same. So yeah.
Just this week alone, I think I've had Clarissa's come twice, Jenny's come, had several meals, I've gone to 3 movies and had a pedicure. It's shallow, but it's a nice distraction, and it's probably the most fun I've had in
a while. Amen. Awesome. Okay, well, that's enough for a while, so we do love y'all so much, and just want you to know how much our hearts are with you. So, I mean, I don't know how in the heck I'm going to give you a sample of what God did in the 5 weeks that I was in Uganda and Congo. But I think the Lord will translate somehow what the bulk of that experience was to each of you in a way that you need it to be translated. I do have some pictures of the part of the trip. I selected a few, and so I'll kind of do a little commentary as we go along. Hopefully that won't take too long. There aren't very many. But, you know, you guys sent me. There was no question in my mind that I was going in your behalf. The words that came, Jane, your word did, wherever Jane is she still here? Yeah, there she is. Your word did get to me, and you said tendrils from the revival that was going on in Selma would be going out with me from Selma to here to there. Other people had words for the people in Congo, Rick and Marion, and who else had, who did the 3x5 cards? Laurie did those. I may be able to tell you where exactly those words went in this little talk. If not, ask me later, because I know exactly where all the words went, because God was very clear as I went through the 5 weeks where the words were supposed to go. So it was amazing to see how what y'all did in terms of just prepping and hearing God and asking Him for a word, and where that word was given in Africa was truly amazing. And I've heard so many people talk about how they were praying for me and for us, and there are just some things that I will not ever talk about that occurred, and know that that is the level of intensity that was going on there, that there are some things that I just can't speak about again. So the prayers that were prayed were more than likely precisely aimed at situations that were beyond description, some of them anyway. And I'll tell some stories about the Lord's actual protection, but your prayers were heard. And understand that, you know, when you take on a commitment to pray for someone, that's no mild thing. And I know for a fact, and it was retrospective, a lot of it, that when people were praying, stuff was being held back. Stuff was being prevented. So I want you to remember that as you move forward in your lives, as we pray for each other. That's not rote stuff. That's not something that we do as a formality. God acts upon that. He acts upon your prayers. And He acted upon your prayers while I was gone. I want you to know that the funds that I took with me, which turned out to be fairly substantial. I felt like this Secret Service agent with this backpack full of cash that I never let out of my sight. You know, when I went into the little bamboo thing that was called a toilet, the Africans always wondered why my backpack went in there with me. But I kept all the cash in a secret compartment. Karen knows the secret compartment because it's our backpack that we take to Africa. I felt like this CIA agent all the time with this backpack full of cash, and it was so cool to walk through that trip with those funds right there and being able to see a situation and hear God say X number of dollars. See another situation and hear God say X number of dollars. See another situation and hear God say X number of dollars until it was literally all gone. I think I came back with maybe 10,000 Ugandan shillings, which is about $2, something like that. So I gave all the funds away, and I counted, I wrote down where the situations were, and there were 17 different circumstances into which those funds were poured. And I preached and taught over 30 times while I was there. And just to give you a background of the situation, I flew into Entebbe, Uganda, and that's where this picture is. And just so you'll get a flavor for my connection to Uganda, AC, would you mind holding up my grandson? That's Drew, and Drew's got his Uganda t-shirt on. And the reason that I am saying that is there is a tree that was planted while he was in AC's womb. When the time that I was in Uganda, that's Drew's tree. And the girl standing there's name is Grace, and she's the one who planted the tree, and she's the one who cares for the tree. That is at an orphanage in Uganda. The man on the right there is Caleb, who runs the orphanage. Actually, there are two or three now that he runs. Pray for Caleb. Pray for the orphans of Africa. There are 4.2 million orphans in Uganda alone. That number is probably growing, not decreasing. Every household has many children. If you have two of your own, you have five of someone else's. That's kind of how it works in Africa. Caleb takes care of these orphans in wonderful ways. Just quickly, the last time I was there, when I planted that tree, the gates of the orphanage opened, and there was a year-and-a-half-old boy standing there in tattered clothes that someone had just dropped off. And he was still at the orphanage. No, he got adopted. That's right. By the way, Caleb said adoptions in Uganda are easy. So if you know anybody that is interested in adopting children, Caleb said adoptions in Uganda are easy. And I met a couple who was in the finishing stretch of adopting one or two children out of this orphanage. So pass the word. They're hard some places. They're easy in Uganda. So next slide. Entered into Uganda through Entebbe and spent the night in Kampala, which is where this first picture is. And the next morning, I went to, can you move the slides along, guys? The next morning, I took the bus to Bundibugyo. And when I got to Bundibugyo that evening, which was, it was an all-day drive, this is a picture that I took in the place where the taxis and the buses arrive in Bundibugyo. What does that say to you? It says hope. It says, I have something for you. And it was really neat that the Lord, in the very beginning of that trip, the second day that I was there, before everything started, sent me that message. Next slide. Next picture that we have is still in Uganda. We had a fundraiser in Uganda. If you've never had a fundraiser in Uganda, you have missed a party. It's an all-day thing. People bring gifts and just multitude of gifts. Next slide. You'll begin to see those. This is the foundation of a church that they're trying to raise funds for. Keep going, guys. Keep going. This is Bishop Hannington. Go ahead. These are the gifts. You see the sugar cane, the bananas, you have rice, you have beans, you have the goats there. Keep going. The goats on the side of the building. And people bid on these things, and the bids go up, and of course you're paying more for the goods than they're worth, but this is how they raise funds. Bishop Pennington was just a nutcase. He bought all that stuff right there and a bunch of goats and a bunch of chickens that we had to ride back to Bundibujo from this place with. So keep going. This is, just so you'll know, this is Bishop Jaffe. If you have not heard of him, he is a man of God. He is a giant in the spirit. He is just a magnificent individual. And he sends his greetings. It was my first time to meet him. He's a longtime friend of Bishop Hannington's. They go back to school days. In fact, he told me some stories about Hannington that Hannington probably didn't want me to know. So keep going. Keep going. Yeah, this is Mount Zion School. It wasn't 6 or so years ago that there was an empty piece of ground right here. And now there are 200 boarding students at Mount Zion School that Bishop Hannington started, and that many more day students at the school. Think about it. 200 kids having to be fed 3 meals a day, 7 days a week, plus the other ones. Keep going. There was a marvelous, marvelous celebration. All of this is new. Bishop Hannington is just flourishing. You can see it. Keep going. All right. So, I'm still in Uganda, but this is a refugee camp. As you know, there's a rebel uprising that is going on in Congo now, and 200,000 refugees from Congo have been forced into other countries, mostly Rwanda and Uganda. And so before I left Uganda, I visited this refugee camp where there are 10,000 people from Congo. The buildings are adequate. They're wood structures. You can see they have metal sheet roofs, but they have tarps, those blue tarps kind of things for sides. And they're about 100 yards long, about 50 yards wide, dirt floor, and it's wall-to-wall people. There are no partitions. It's just people. And keep going, guys. Sanitation is okay. Keep going. Keep going. And there's adequate food. The UN was doing a good job of... That's one of our church members. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Just wanted you to get an idea of what a refugee camp looks like. Keep going. 10,000 people in this one camp. So here's food. The UN and UNICEF are providing the food for folks. And you can see the big containers that it's cooked in. Rice, beans, maize, which is like a grits with no salt. Keep going. These are the folks standing in line. Keep going. There's the grits. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Go ahead. This is a very, very sick child, and there were many of those. There was adequate medicine, I think, but because there were so many people, it was hard to keep, I'm sure it was hard for them to stay on top of the sicknesses that were going on. I'll keep going. This is Bishop Jackie in our 100cc Yamaha that we spent a great deal of time wandering around on. Bishop Jackie is a marvelous man who is one of our main bishops in Congo. Keep going. All right, so ministered at the refugee camps as much as I could. Left funds there with some of the ministers. There are lots of CEC people in the refugee camps. I didn't get to visit the one that was further north, the one from which the accident occurred recently that you got the email about. That was much further north. And we did lose at least two priests in that boating accident, and many of our church members were also part of that. I don't know why things like that keep happening to these people. So I knew a little bit of what I was getting into when I got to the border crossing, which was a small crossing. My intention to be covert or low-key and behind the scenes as possible, because I'm going by myself. I met the border officer trying to leave Uganda, and he told me to my face, "You can't go into Congo. It's too dangerous. I can't let you go." And I said, "Well, you don't really have a choice about that." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "God has sent me to Congo, and you do not have a capacity to stop him from getting me into Congo." And he said, "Well, I can say no." And I said, "Well, if you say no, then I'm going to walk 100 yards down that river, and I'm going to cross that river, and I'm going to go into Congo that way, or I'm going to go 100 yards up that way and cross the river, but I'm going into Congo." And so I spent about 45 minutes arguing with him, wore him out. He sent me to another guy. I spent another hour arguing with him. He sent me back to the first guy. 4 hours later, exhausted, they stamped my visa and let me go into Congo. But they kept saying over and over again, "What good are you if you're dead?" So we got to Bishop Jackie's house. This is not the house. The house was the first slide. This is the second one. This is Bishop Jackie's church. One of them right near his house. And every piece of real estate was occupied by refugees. So this is a church, and these are refugees that are living in the church. When you have a service, the refugees go out, and when you don't, they live there. Keep going. This is a bigger picture of the church. Keep going. The people that were living there, close up. Keep going. All right, so from now on, I expect different treatment from all of you. I have now met the King of Wadalinga. I was summoned into his presence, and we hung out together. So, I'm special, right? In Congo, they have kings, and they are a big deal. They're kings over a whole province. This man was a refugee, and he happened to be in Nobili, the city that I stayed in for a while with Bishop Jackie. And because he was a refugee, I had the opportunity to meet him. We had some very interesting conversations, and he wants to continue a relationship with the CEC. He wants to talk to our bishops. He wants to communicate back and forth. He lives in a palace somewhere in Congo, and he invited me to visit. So remember, I'm special now. I have met the King of Wadalinga. He was a magnificent man, and I gave him a gift of a big knife, and he loved it. So, next picture. Next picture. This is a refugee camp inside of Congo, pretty much the same as the one outside of Congo. Remember, there are 10,000 people at least in all of these, and wherever there is a building, refugees are occupying that building. This particular camp was supplied by UN helicopters, and because it was so close to the fighting, a helicopter would fly over really high that had high-level surveillance equipment in it looking for the rebels. Interesting, kind of conspicuous. It would fly right over Bishop Jackie's house looking for the rebels. Kind of lets you know how porous the situation was. And then after it passed, then the UN helicopter would fly low and land on the grounds here and drop off food supplies. We had a church service. Next slide. We had a church service there. Keep going. That's the dryer. When your clothes are wet, that's how you dry them. Keep going. This is our church service. It was packed to the gills, and people were out the windows. Keep going. These are your clergy in Nobili and Nobili area. A lot of these guys are refugees, but that's Bishop Jackie on the far left with the hat on, whatever you call that thing. Mitre, yeah. Next slide is a church, and these are the refugees that are staying. It's very small, probably 20 by 20, but there are refugees staying there as well. Keep going. There it is. All the land was donated by a man because he loves the CEC. Keep going. You know, when you go places, they always give you a gift. Well, there's my chicken. I accumulated a number of chickens, by the way. Keep going. There's your cathedral. That's Bishop Jackie's cathedral. Keep going. He said, pray that I can actually have a building as my cathedral. Keep going. Keep going. In Nobili, there is a health clinic started by the CEC. The borders are very porous. There's all kind of stuff going on. People just don't have basic health care in that area. And Bishop Jackie started a clinic. This is a nurse who's more or less a volunteer. If she gets paid, it's rare. And keep going. She has very little medicine. So I always take a lot of medicine and medical supplies with me, the kind of stuff that I can get in the country. And so this is me giving her the bulk of what I had, antibiotics and hemostats and bandages and tape and antibiotic cream and all that stuff. Your funds went for all those supplies. Keep going. See what you're doing? You see what your prayers mean? You see what the connections are? Keep going. Interesting story. This man is an ex-Congolese soldier who was wounded and he's disabled, and that's how he makes a living. He built that thing by hand, and it actually has a ball bearing, what do you call them, Rick? Ball bearings for the wheels, bearings anyway, and he transports goods, and that's how he makes a living. Next slide. Thought this was really interesting. Your funds went to pay 6 months of salary for three refugee teachers. I was walking outside Bishop Jackie's home one morning, and I saw this man, keep going, with this age group of children. I saw this man with this age group of children. Keep going. And I saw one more. And I knew that teachers probably would be able to speak English. And so I asked them what they were doing. And they explained that they were refugees and that all of the children that they were teaching were refugees. And you can see the piece of blackboard that they were using to teach. And I just asked, well, you know, how are you getting by? And they were getting by on the UN and UNICEF and whatever people could give them from their own gardens. Says, well, what would 6 months' salary be for each of you? And they told me, so each of them got $100 a piece. 6 months' salary. For, so you have three teachers with 6 months' salary. Thank you so much for blessing. And these are pygmies. I thought you might be interested in that. They were a lot more interested in the Mzungu than I was in them. But these are refugees who were living in a house that Bishop Jackie was renting from someone. And so he was allowing them to live there for free. And they were outcasts in the Congolese society. And so their situation was a good bit harder. So I gave them some funds to help them buy food. Keep going. Next slide. Lori, this is Bishop Jackie's wife. Lori made some prayer shawls. She made three of them. And I gave them to various people, and her name is Luanzo. I want you to know that that's Bishop Jackie's wife, and she got one of the prayer shawls, and this is her receiving that for the first time. She was thrilled beyond description. Keep going. There are no toys, so whatever few toys I could take. AC, I think that may have been one of yours. Keep going. So I told you that the front lines were basically nowhere. We thought they were about 3 miles away from Bishop Jackie's house, but as it turned out, there were no battle lines. This is the hospital 1 mile from Bishop Jackie's house. The hospital's inland had been ransacked, and all the good equipment had been taken. Keep going. And so this was whatever equipment they could salvage. This is the OR for the hospital. Now remember, we're talking about battle casualties, we're talking about whatever, and that OR, those surgeons were doing surgery with local anesthesia. So the best they had was local anesthesia, no general anesthesia. Whatever came in that needed surgery, war wound, appendicitis, whatever surgery they were doing was with general anesthesia, and it was in an OR that was basic. This is the maternity ward, and you can see how sparse it is. Keep going. And these are just children waiting to be seen, the pediatrics ward. Keep going. This is one of the doctors. He's also a refugee. Tireless worker. Magnificent man who is basically living on the graces of whoever will help him. And he is working 7 days a week, who knows what kind of hours, to take care of these folks in this situation that is just beyond description. Dropped off some medical supplies there, tried to help as much as I could with that hospital also. So before we left Nobili, which was Bishop Jackie's home, the night before, in fact, there was a battle that took place. Think about your prayers. 500 yards from his house, the house where we were staying. The rebels had massed for an attack on the village, and a local person just happened to be walking through the area that they were beginning to assemble in, noticed that they were rebels, informed the Congolese soldiers that were stationed fairly nearby, and they were able to attack them instead of being attacked. And 18 rebels were killed, and the rest were run off 500 yards from Bishop Jackie's house. And this was the situation that we were in every single city that we visited. The border, the battle lines were so porous that there was no safety anywhere. And think about it. Every night I went to bed, whether I was sick as a dog or whatever, every night I went to bed and I said, "Thank you, God, for allowing me to be with these people and suffer with these people and sleep in this whatever," because the conditions were very sparse. I mean, mud huts and mildew and dusty and smoky and just very, very sparse situation. "Thank you, God, for allowing me to suffer with these people. Thank you, God, for allowing me to feel some small part of what their experience is." And then I reminded myself, but I get to leave. They have to stay. They have to stay. And so your place in their lives can get deeper as you take on a commitment to pray for them. I went to visit Bishop Kabanabi, who has been in a very desperate state. Keep going. For about 3 years, he's been bedbound. And we prayed for him. He couldn't speak. I'm not really sure he could understand. But Bishop Kabanabi is a great man in Congo. He is known as a great man in Congo. And it was hard, keep going, to see him in that place. It was hard to visit his family and to see them in such desperate straits. Because, again, the village, there was this Beni, was very porous and could be overrun at any time. And so here we are praying for them. I took them some funds. I took them a calendar, CEC calendar, and some other things. This is Bishop Kabanabi's wife. This is a service in Beni. God did some really powerful things in that service. Keep going. It's okay. Move forward. I just thought this was kind of curious. This is Bishop Jackie's home in Motembo. As we're moving along again, another village that could be overrun at any time. And these kids are playing a game on a board that they made, and it has nails nailed in it, and they have a little marble-like thing and a stick and little nets on either end, and they play sort of stick soccer that way. Keep going. Keep going. I want you to know the faces of the people that you are pouring your prayers and funds into. Keep going. It's a women's prayer group. These are giants in the Lord. They do great things. Keep going. This is I forget where this is, but it's a church where they lost the building. It's a CEC church. They lost the building, and yet they are still meeting together in a house that belongs to someone. And we had a service there, and we were encouraging them to not give up, but to continue on, because what had happened was they were swindled basically out of the church, and the minister ran off with the building and all the people, and they were left with just these folks. So we were there encouraging them. So in that same church, when you're finished with the service, you always have a meal. For this meal, there are 3 spoons. And of course, they're handing the mzungu, the spoon. And I'm holding the spoon, and I'm looking around at about 20 folks, and I'm thinking, nah. So I give the spoon back, and I dive in with my hands, and which I'm very typically prone to do. I like to eat with my hands in Africa because that's the way they do it. But this is a typical meal in a typical way. You can see people reaching in. There's beans. There's rice, and there's, I think, matoke, which is a banana kind of thing. Do you know when you're breaking bread that way, it's real personal. It's real sweet and personal. Okay? Keep going. I call this the Missouri boat ride. For those of you who have seen Outlaw Josie Wales, you remember that scene in there where he shoots the rope of the raft that the Yankees are on, and they go going down the river? Well, this was going in a boat across Lake Kivu in Congo. And this boat was pretty small, and it was packed to the hilt, and it was rough, and it was raining. And this guy was driving this thing a million miles an hour, and every time it hit a wave, I thought it was going to capsize. But this stream of water would come through. You can see that dividing line down the front of that window. That's water coming in. And the first three rows were pretty much drenched every time they hit a wave. And I thought that was a really cool picture. But that's how we got actually to Bukavu across Lake Kivu. Okay. This is Bishop Katarama's church in Bukavu, and their service is very, very small, but at least they have a building. Keep going. This is Bishop Katarama and his wife, Joy, and Lori. You'll notice a prayer shawl. Keep going. Linda, your stuff. Linda's gone. There she is. That's your stuff being given away. Linda copied a whole bunch of Bible verses and a whole bunch of things. Even though very few of them could read English, it didn't matter. They were thrilled. Some of the toys that I took, Frisbees and that kind of stuff, given away. That's go back, if you can, guys, to that next. Yeah, that guy with the Frisbee is Canon Vital. And Canon Vital has given our music team, Dwayne, you want to come up and get this? A gift from his church. This is a paint can covered with cow skin that is a drum that that they use, and they wanted our church to have it. So this is from Canon Vital's church. It's a paint can. Canon Vital is a wonderful man. Pray for him. He's in a situation that's tough, and he needs our prayers. So keep going. That's Lake Kivu when it was calm, from Canon Vital's church. Okay. It's inside his church. Keep going. Wonderful service there. It's your local gas station. If you need gas in your bus, your van, your car, your motorcycle, there's your gas station. Keep going. Thought this was kind of interesting because the broken windshield above it was a whole bunch of blood. I was riding there. It was from the last passenger, I suppose, whose head went into the windshield. Kind of an interesting way to drive. Keep going. This is one of those things I can't talk about, but I did want to let you sort of get a picture of, you see there's smoke rising, and there's just a bad deal happening right there, and I just wanted you to get a sense of that. This is pretty typical. We're taking this taxi from the middle of nowhere to the middle of nowhere, and he hits a rock, and of course the oil pan bursts and oil is draining down the road, and so we're just there until we're transferred to the bed of a pickup truck, and get transported to the next city. This is a prayer service in Bishop Katarama's church. We had a prayer and foot washing keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Just run all the way through. Okay. So here's the deal about the message that you sent me with. All refugees, or mostly refugees, in situations that are indescribable, what do you say? How do you preach to people in situations like that? I preached out of Jeremiah 31 about redemption. And I said to them over and over and over again, sometimes literally grabbing them by the face, Jesus loves you. You. Not y'all. You. And it was amazing to see as we anointed. I used two vials of anointing oil for healing and sacred chrism. Completely used up. We anointed so many people with oil. The theme that you sent me with was Jesus loves you. And I want you to know that it was a powerful message in the midst of all of that. It was to them very encouraging, very strengthening, very powerful. Not because I said it, but because the Lord was in it. There were things that happened, nothing like what Bishop witnessed in Uganda. Things happened every time we preached, every time we anointed, healings, restorations, emotional, spiritual renewal, life in the midst of darkness. But here's where I want to close. I've been in a lot of countries in Africa. I've been in Congo twice. I've never had any more intense physical, emotional, and spiritual experience than this one. There is a spiritual war going on in that country that is palpable. I've been in other African countries. I've felt spiritual warfare, but I've felt nothing like this. When I entered that country, it was like tar. It was like thick mud having to press through. Remember, I got to leave. Those people have to stay. Witchcraft is the things that I can't talk about mostly have to do with that. It is that thick. Please remember these people. Ask God to encourage their hearts. Ask God to push back the darkness from them. Ask God to overcome the darkness, because it is intense, the likes of which I have never seen in my life. Would you make a commitment with me to pray for the people of Congo? Pray for them physically. Pray for them emotionally. And pray for them spiritually. They need it. And they know you because they met you through me when I was there. So thank you so much for sending me. Thank you so much for all your prayers. Thank you so much for everything that you did. When that drum is played, may we remember in our services the people of Congo. God bless you.
Don, you know what? You're special, but it's not because you met that king. No, it's because you met the king. And it was the king that made sure you were going to cross that border and go over there. We're a blessed church, you guys. Have people like Father Don. Deacon Ron is over there. Our bishop just returned from Africa. We're blessed to know these men and women, other parts of the team. There are more that will be going to Africa. You know, when I go, a lot of times I have to go to these these meetings that the bishops have, and we have some of the African bishops come to the meetings, and they know you. They all know you. They know this church. They go, oh, that's the great church where Father Don Richards and Deacon Ron Roberts, that's the church you go. And I said, yeah, that's the church that I go to. And they know you. They know our children. They know our kids. And, you know, these people, the people of Africa, are not takers. You know, we talk a lot about takers and givers. And, you know, Bishop Costantino used to remind us about that. And they're givers. I was so humbled at the House of Bishops or the Patriarchs Council a couple weeks ago. One of the African bishops from Uganda came up to me, and you know, they want so bad to be a part of who we are. They're really just, this is their heart to do, and they have nothing. And you know, one of the things that people, the churches are all asked to do in the CEC is to give to CEC for Life to support the sanctity of human life. A bishop came up to me and he said, Father Terry, he said, I have for you 745,000 Ugandan shillings. And that's like $300. But he gave that money to me, and of course I just began to weep, and I tried very hard to give it back to him. And he said, no, that would take away the blessing from us if you give that back. And so I said, well, I'll keep that for when I come. I'm going to go in 2015. So I'll be going over there to them also. But I tell you what, the connection is unbelievable. And Father Don, I think we need to do more than just commit. We need to make that commitment to pray for the Congo, but we need to do more. And so I'm so thankful that I know our church will do more. And so thank you for going. Thank you for going on behalf of us and representing this little parish. And thank you for what you meant to those people and bringing the gift of your heart to them. Amen? Amen. Amen.